The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, you draw near to us in Christ, and you make yourself our guest. Amid the cares of our lives, make us attentive to your presence, that we may treasure your word above all else, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Baby, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
A reading from Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." Word of God, word of life. Let us read Psalm 15 responsively. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill?
Those who let your names lie and do what is right, who speak the truth from their heart.
They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor.
In their sight, the wicked are detected, but they honor those who fear the Lord. They have sworn upon their health and do not take back their servant.
They do not give up their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, all visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshy body through death, so as to present your holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. and provide that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission, and was given to, and that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the feet of the Lord and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
I noticed our vicar is sitting back of that post over there, so I can't see when he starts to nod his head. The Son of Man, Jesus, according to the Bible, had no place to lay his head. If there was one place, though, that seemed somewhat like home, it was the village of Bethany with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And that's where we find him in today's gospel, which highlights the distinction between persons and things. God creates persons and things. He creates persons to love and to be loved. In the beginning, he said, man needs a helper. I'll make a helper for him. Male and female created he them. People were to love God and to love each other. God created people to love and to be loved. God created things to be used. He gave people dominion over things and how necessary and helpful they are for us in our lives. But things are to be used. This is God's plan. He created persons to love and to be loved, and he created things to be used. In today's gospel, as is often true in our lives, the two get mixed up. Martha loved things. She welcomed Jesus into the home. That's the way the gospel begins. But then she went out to the kitchen and cleaned up the house and made the meal and set the table and washed the dishes. And Jesus said, Martha, you are distracted by many things. She loved things. It's easy to love things, you know. You and I love things, houses and cars and boats and blackberries and you know, all the rest. We love things. And they're great. They're helpful for us in life. But they are things. Yet it's safer to love things. When we love persons, they may not love us back. They may hurt us some way along the way. They may disappoint us. Loving persons is more dangerous than loving things. We never quite know how it's going to turn out. And so so we love things. Sometimes loving things becomes a substitute for loving persons. Psychologists tell us that kleptomaniacs love things. They steal things, not because they want the things, not because they need the things, but because they don't feel loved. Sometimes in mental institutions, people who don't feel loved will be in a curled up position, the position they were in the womb, where they know they were loved. So it's easy, you know, to love things. Easy to love things. And we do this. These things won't hurt us. And maybe like the kleptomaniac, you know, we don't go out and steal, but we use things to help us experience love. We're having a bad hair day. You know, the horsemen of the apocalypse ride rush out over our souls, and every day seems like Blue Monday, and it's a terrible day, and then we go shopping. You know, we buy a new printer for our computer, or new golf clubs, important things like that, tennis rackets, that sort of thing. We buy these things, but the problem with things is things are made not to love, but to be used. And so these things can't love us back. And we buy these things, and they don't love us back. And we're more frustrated than ever. God, you see, created things to be used. He created people to be loved. And here again in today's gospel, Martha got it all wrong. As Vicar Joshua pointed out, Martha looked at her sister Mary, and she loved her, of course, cared about her, but she wanted her out there in the kitchen helping her. Mary was to be a thing to help her do what she was doing. It's so easy for us to treat people as things. In the supermarket, the checkout person, we're kind, we say, have a nice day, and that sort of thing. But these are really things, to accomplish things that we want to have accomplished. We don't relate to them as persons. A taxi driver, in the home, sometimes, the partner, we want the partner to do this and that. We want the partner to be a kind of thing. The problem with making people into things, things don't love. So then people don't love us back. No one wants to be thought of as a thing. People then can't love us back. And we find ourselves empty and discouraged and all of that. That's the scene in today's gospel, except for Mary. Mary chose the better part. She sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to him. You see, that's the place where we really know love. God loves us with an everlasting love, a love that never ends and never dies. I love that Hebrew word hesed, mercy, loving kindness that endures forever. And this God who loved from the very beginning then expressed his love in a big way when he so loved the world that he sent his son. And in Jesus, we know how much God loves us. Loves us enough to put up with all our shortcomings and all of the rest. Loves us enough to die on a cross for us, only to be raised from the dead as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus loves us. How does St. Paul say? Here in his love, Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be a propitiation for our sins. And in the epistle of John, he said, we love because he first loved us. God loves us. And it's like a row of dominoes. You push one and the whole row falls down. God loves us and makes us to be loving persons. And then we can love persons and not use them as things. One of my favorite, probably my favorite story from mythology, is a story of Pygmalion. I'm sure I've told it here before, and if you're hearing it again, you'll have to just hear it again and get the message. The story of Pygmalion has been retold in modern ways, like the musical My Fair Lady. In Greek mythology, Pygmalion was a sculptor, a good sculptor. I mean, his columns were perfect, and the things that he did were just great. Pygmalion hated women. He thought women were the scum of the earth. And to show how inferior women were, he decided to carve a statue of a perfect woman, an exquisite woman. And with his great skill, he worked on the statue. The hair and the head were just right, and the eyes and the eyelids, and the cheekbones, and the chin, and perfect breasts, and then long, sensuous legs. He created a sculpture that you wouldn't believe. The sculpture of an outstanding, perfect, wonderful woman. And then he went to a conference of the gods. They're all together. And he made a request. He said, I'd like to have a real, live woman, a person just as lovely, just like the statue I made. Well, he went home. He loved his statue so much, he would buy fine clothes and drape them around the statue and all of that. So he went back to the studio, and he put his arms around that statue, and he felt something in his back, something clutching him. And he leaned down, and in his wonted way, he pressed his warm lips to those cold lips of stone, and he felt a response. The statue became alive. He loved the statue, loved the thing he had made, and it became alive in his own arms, in his own hands. You see, God created you and me, and sometimes we must seem like that lifeless statue. But then he loves us with this never-ending love, and that emits from us a love as we respond to him, as we do what God wants as persons, made to love him and to love others. And so this morning, you and I, by God's grace, recipients of his love, join with Mary in choosing the better part. Amen.